From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move on through the season of Lent. I hope everyone is having a... You're not supposed to say happy Lent. I'm not sure what, but a meaningful, a powerful, a blessed, and very spiritual
effective.
That's Jane Lee's voice you're hearing, God's
Thank you.
Heart and hands.
Thank you.
Jane, good to have you with us.
It's good to be here.
I think a blessed Lent, that's good.
Lent is always very difficult
Merry
for me.
Christmas, you can say that.
That's
you can say Happy New Year.
That's true.
You can say, glorious Easter.
Yes. Yeah. A fruitful Calvary, I think. Yeah. Lent is really supposed to be a purification,
which
is not comfortable sometimes.
Fruitful. Have a fruitful Lent.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Well,
and then
welcome.
Now...
Oh, and what were you going to say?
Already thinking about Lent, isn't it glorious? We have the month of St. Joseph in March, a devotion to St. Joseph.
Which, March the 19th, St. Joseph
yes,
Day.
Yes, it's time to focus.
All the swallows come back to San Juan Capistrano.
To celebrate St. Joseph.
You don't know that story?
Yeah.
Do you know that story?
No,
yes.
I want to hear it again. Would you tell me?
Yes, it's
really,
March
I do.
19th.
Uh-huh.
And they even made a movie about it.
That's right, they did, quite a while ago.
And there's a sort of a famous song at the time, when the swallows returned to Capistrano. It's like a love song or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's How Long I'll Wait for You or something like that. You know. And I remember a few years ago, our family was going to go to Legoland. Because we were told that once kids get to be a certain age, they're too old for Legoland. That's
okay.
Not quite Disneyland where anybody goes, you know, but Legoland was a kind of a... And they were getting to be about that age, so we decided we would go. And just happened to spend the night on the way down in San Juan Capistrano and went out to the mission. Just fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And there were all kinds of activities for the kids as well to do. Like from the mission times, you know, and it was just, going into the chapels there and I think it had been hurt by either a fire or an earthquake. I'm not sure like the original chapel, but it was just fascinating, but all the way down. So I did some research and I told them the stories and all that. And then found this song. So all the way down, we played that song.
Oh,
when the swallows returned to Capistrano, May the 19th. And it's a true story. They come back. They did some renovations, though, that I guess hurt where they would nest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so they didn't come back in the same... I think they keep a couple in a cage just in case. You know,
just in case. For the tourists.
The 19th. But it's like one of those... I mean... There's so many things in nature that we go, wow, how could they know the exact date? Well, how can salmon out in the ocean find the stream that they came from and go back up?
Do we have any idea about that yet? Do we think they have an internal GPS kind of thing?
They must have.
Because it can't be scent. It can't be
who knows what
anything that we would think of a normal sense.
It could be just an inborn sense of direction, you know, like... Why do our eyeballs work? They just work.
Oh,
I see. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean,
yes.
And I don't know why I'm seeing you right now, but I am. And it may be, it's clearly as natural to salmon as...
True.
You know, because they all do it.
Oh, that's fascinating. They may map the bottom of the ocean visually. Who knows? We don't know. But that all speaks to the marvels of God.
Yeah.
Being a private math tutor in addition to a mom and working this ministry, the Lord is bringing God's heart and hands for parents to support parents and families. I have the opportunity when I have a few extra minutes to talk to kids about just bring anything up at all or to take something they brought up and go with it. And there's a lot of tension, a pressure rather, among students right now to try to catch up from the gap from the lockdown because they got credit from the classes, but they didn't get a credit for the classes, but they didn't get the material. They didn't get the knowledge, the skills. So they're trying to catch up at the same time still moving ahead. So there's a lot of pressure. So I've been recognizing it and talking to kids, okay, what are you doing to rest your brain? And they're, if they're coming out of high school, they're preparing for the ACT or the SAT or some other type of exam, evaluation exam, and trying to help them maintain that balance. They're learning it younger than we did when we got in the corporate world. They're learning it, learning it younger. And one of the girls, we started looking at exotic orchids. You just look up images of exotic orchids. There are so many of them that you know they're monkeys. They're little monkeys in a flower with the face and the arms and the legs. And there's, and some of them look like angels. And it's not a child's look like, oh, this is an angel and you're trying to figure it out. And a child's
drawing.
I didn't
know if you said orchids or orcas.
That's true. No, orchids, the flowers. There we go. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. But it's a, it's another window into God's world, and it's a way that, that I can work with a child that may not have a sense of God yet to just, isn't nature amazing? Something we can't do that. Science can't grow a seashell right now.
We haven't done anything that nature can do, as the weather recently has proven.
Right.
Yes. It's phenomenal. Nature always wins.
Mm-hmm.
And nature just wins. And
that's true.
Sometimes in destructive ways, that's when we think, oh, you know, the terrible earthquakes. And but sometimes it's just I'm just in awe of. I remember we were taking a ride in the country when the blossoms, the almond blossoms. The almonds seem to be the most spectacular of all the blossoms. And you see this entire orchard, and they all bloomed almost exactly at the same instant.
Wow.
On both sides of the road, you know, just on a little country road. And I remember saying to Shelley, I said to my wife, I said, right now, we are probably on the most beautiful, in the most beautiful place on the face of the earth right now. These trees on, it looked like it had snowed, and it looked like the trees were popcorn trees or something. They were just completely, but just a, you know, white is one of those colors doesn't get enough credit.
Yes, yes.
But it was just spectacular white. As far as the eye could see, trees that 3 weeks prior were barren. I mean, just barren, just sticks. And you think, wow, nature just phenomenal. And of course, when you when I think of nature, I think of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're one in the same, I guess. It's a branch of God. It's an arm of God. It's and you know, people talk about evolution or creation or whatever anybody wants to talk about, but there's definitely a creator, and whatever he put into motion is what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just spectacular.
And that what you did in the moment, I think, looking at it through the lens of God's heart and hands as parents, is that you said that to your wife, but your children were in the car and they heard it. You relate things to God. You see that as the lens into God to help you contemplate God. And just that gratitude of recognizing we are on the most beautiful spot on the earth. You're giving God his due, his majesty,
and
you're recognizing.
It wasn't based on a prejudice we have about what beauty was.
Right.
It's just like, whoa, where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
This is so, so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, and sometimes you see that maybe the first time you ever saw the redwoods or something, you know, the same thing. You just, you go, wow, God's, it's pretty amazing stuff.
And taking that and pairing it, if you will, with all the distractions and the pressure and the to-do list, and we're coming out of the lockdown and we're ramping up really quickly, is all of that we need to is to direct parents to say, remember, start from God. Look at it through God's, as a lens into God. And it's simple, but we really do need the reminder, because we know that the enemy looks to distract. I mean, he'll do the obvious things that we catch, but I think globally we're not catching the subtle ways that he's distracting by keeping us busy, by putting a screen. Have you seen it on a stroller, a holder for an iPad? And so a child that looks at a representation of the almond blossoms hasn't seen the real thing rather than just the real image. And it's so interesting. Rarely do I see those screens, whether they're in the car, on the phone, on the stroller, or on a TV, being used as a window to somewhere else in the world you can't get to. Yeah. It's a cartoon image or an animation or something like that, or a story, a comedy, whichever, which is someone else's story and someone else's drama. So as parents, when we've got so much to think about these days and so much to seriously be concerned about, and when God's law is being battled with in society right now, those simple things, it's easy to bring those in. It's easy, and we don't even realize we're pushing it out. So I'm really recognizing being on the front lines in education and being with kids and in their home and watching them develop with the influence of this. We're not even realizing what's being pruned. Because if you use those screens to at least look at nature, look at the seven wonders of the world, look at the, you pick it, anything in nature, how it occurs, the cosmos. We have pictures now of the cosmos that we didn't have a generation ago. Then you're using it as a tool to draw your family closer to God and to just remember, to keep that connection, that conversation, which comes so easily in like you with your family, you're talking about those road trips. It's just a part of your life. To recognize God.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to me, too. The seven wonders of the world, I think there's probably seven wonders in your backyard.
I think there's new ones, too. When I was helping the student, they've called new ones.
I'm always fascinated where you're walking across the lawn or something, whether it's your lawn or somebody else's lawn. There will be the smallest, not a dandelion, but just a small,
tiny little flower.
Usually yellow.
Yes.
And just, I mean.
Or lavender, kind of a purplish.
So tiny.
Yes, yes.
And everything is trying to live. It's trying desperately to exist.
True.
I mean, you go up in the Sierra, you'll see pine trees growing out of blocks of granite. And not out of the dirt, but out of, they've actually cracked the rock. And you're going, how could a seed so desperate for sun crack a rock so that it could live?
That's true.
You have little people in there with chisels.
And we do know it's not force. We know it dissolves it. But it had to have that enzyme, if you will, to dissolve the rock. How did it have enough? Because we know seedlings, when we start seedlings, they need water.
Granite's pretty tough stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not easily gotten through. Here again, science will always give us the answer. But God is who designed it and put it there, the capability for that.
I'm always amazed, we plant a tomato seed and we have trouble getting tomatoes because we don't get a lot of sun in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Blaming the neighbor's sycamore tree for that.
Uh-huh.
But it's friendly. But
yes, I understand.
And then I go up in the Sierra and I see a tree growing out of a rock that nobody even planted or watered or
that's
did anything.
True.
And I'm going, well, how come I can't grow a tomato,
That's really fascinating. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Because we're getting the best soil and we're watering it and we're
and that seed doesn't have to bust the rock.
To it and,
saying prayers, invoking. Yeah. Who's the patron saint of tomato plants?
I'm not sure. Hines, I think his name is.
That's really good. You bring in another vantage point for families is humor. It's just that thought you just had. When we have those discussions with our children, it's just bringing God into it. Look what God did here in this seed and what God did here in this seed. And that's St. Charbel, who is, from learning about him, they believe he has the highest number of miracles of any saint in the church.
St. Charbel,
yes. Wow. Miracles associated with him beyond what anything else that we would have imagined. And he talks about families and that how he says, guard your families and keep them from the schemes of the evil one through the presence of God in them. So just that one line, because it's quite a big
I had a poem. Lebanese friend who told me about St. Charbel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember what he said?
No.
Except, do you remember his emotion?
It was like, this is a big deal.
Yes, yes. I think he's kind of coming into light
now. Go to the heavyweights, don't.
Yes, he is definitely a heavyweight. But that one line out of this big paragraph where he talks a lot about families, and he talks about how Satan has been after family from the beginning because the family is the foundation of God's plan. That's why he's focusing on destroying the family. So that one line, guard your families and keep them from the schemes of the evil one And here's the clue, through the presence of God in them. So what you do with your family, by just in the matter of conversation, you're out for a drive or you're wondering why the tomato plant's not working, but the other seed somewhere else under more adverse conditions is thriving. You're bringing God just into the conversation. It's natural. It's a part of you. So what is a part of us as parents is part of our family. And I think part of the battle, and it's shifting, I really do believe it's shifting, part of the battle for parents right now is that we haven't had to tend to what's inside of us too much. And so what's going on outside the family is definitely on fire. But if we get in line with spiritually, then that battle will shift because we have shifted. And we've shifted by turning back to God. And he can then work through us and so on. And so he says, protect and keep them through prayer and dialogue, through mutual understanding and forgiveness. And then he goes on to talk more about being with the family, just conversations. How many families have casual conversations every day right now? It's about schedule. It's about timing. It's about getting out the door. And it was I forget which priest it was I was listening to, said that is one of the subtle ways that the enemy has gotten in and just shifted the family focus. And that is one of the gifts, some people think, that came out of the lockdowns is families then got to come back together. And yes, it was adversity, and yes, there was so much that was hard, and still is, but that one piece, you know, where difficulty abounds, grace abounds all the more. All right. And so the family is going back. I really think God is redirecting us back to how to help the families, and then that goes back to the parents, and that goes back to what their inner life is. In one of the families I work with, the dad just spontaneously started, because he was working at home during the day, talking about how best, it was on his mind, how best to protect his family, spiritually, with everything else that's going on in the world and practically. And he said, well, I've got my kids in Catholic school, you know, from the high school down to the elementary school, and we go to Mass. And he was sensing that the battle's getting bigger, and he's not sure his family is shored up for it. And I talked about St. Joseph. And what occurs to me is, and I went back to him the next week, it occurred to me later, is going to adoration as a family. Mm-hmm. And going into adoration, being there in the evenings, my kids are grown, so I can go anytime, but just being in their evenings, it was really impressive how many families popped in that sweet spot between dinner and bed for 15 minutes. And you could see it. This is just, they did it a couple times a week, mm-hmm. and it was their focus. And there was a different, and you could see them, you could tell if they were in turbulence and really having difficulty, or if this is just something they did and they were peaceful. But I would offer that's a huge tool, if you will, a sword really, to protect the family, is getting back into adoration or doing the family rosary. And I said that to him about doing mm-hmm. the family rosary, because you don't have to go anywhere for that, and how much that helps.
Yeah, it's interesting. At the one of our daughters, who's now a student at Sacramento City College, mm-hmm. but she goes to there's a I guess they call it a satellite campus, which is on the UC Davis campus. So it's in our hometown. So she
nice.
Can take the bus to the campus, and mm-hmm. it's all a learning experience for her. And she got involved with the Newman Center mm-hmm. at UC Davis, which is open to, you know, mm-hmm. college students, whether they're a UC Davis student or not, community college students, just as Sac State is open for, you know, for AR and Sierra and Cosumnes mm-hmm. and Sac City and mm-hmm. Folsom and all of them, you know, Woodland Community College, all those, Yuba mm-hmm. College, they can go up to the Newman and Chico or, you mm-hmm. know, Butte College. Anyway, and in the last couple of months, she got a part-time job at Safeway, mm-hmm. you know, as a bagger, and somebody drops a bottle of wine, she goes, cleans it up, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or, you know, just the kind of thing that a young kid, minimum wage, mm-hmm. would do. But she loves it. Mm-hmm. She loves it. And we're just thrilled. And so they get their schedule every Thursday, and it's just for 1 week. They get a schedule for a week ahead of time. And there's a procedure online where they can request a day off. She's not working every day, but, mm-hmm. but even if you're only working 3 days a week, you don't know which days they're going to be. And if grandma's going to visit on Tuesday, well, I don't want to.
Got it. So you make sure that's not one of the 3 days. Got it.
So she's showing me how she did it. And I said, so how come you've got February? Why'd you ask for February 22nd off? And she said, it's Ash Wednesday.
Oh.
And I just.
Wow.
I was like, there are things that happen that bypass the brain.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. I just spontaneous tears.
Oh.
And she said, Newman is going to have a mass and the distribution of ashes on campus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't want to miss it. And it was like, we must have done something right.
Oh, you did a whole lot right.
You know, it's like, wow. I mean, that and the Holy Spirit. And,
yes.
I mean, you don't want to take very much credit for it.
Well,
but it was like, it was just.
Wow.
She's 20 years old. And just, boom. It was like, it wasn't something we had talked about.
Right.
It wasn't anything. And I was just like. And I'm sure she was hesitant to ask for a day off, you know, like she's she's new to the job and
right.
You know, boom, that was a high priority.
Oh my gosh. That must have made you feel good as a parent.
Did. It did.
And that's one of the things, we don't know how things are gonna go long term, but we do know it's been tried and true. A, when the dad is involved in the faith, in the faith journey, just not leaving it up to mom, they're between 70 and 80% more likely to continue it on their own. Where if it's just mom, it's been the 30% range. But also that when they get to college, they tend to like, okay, now I can make the decisions. And if she had been pushing back against all of that, you never would have known.
No, you wouldn't.
And
no.
So here she went out and did it. Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations, Dad. I mean, well, really it is, because that's what we work for.
And good for
we don't
for
know.
The people at the Newman Center, too.
Yes.
You know,
and to be
who,
on the – and UC Davis.
Kind of welcomed her, you know.
Yes.
And she feels like she has a whole group of friends there. You know, like,
wow.
Like
fellowship is huge.
Fellowship and good friends and you know they go on retreats and it's just a welcome place. Just come and have a cup of coffee. You know,
yes.
After class. It just, you know, it's really and I know that they've had some events that were all three Newman Centers, Davis and Sac State and Chico, together, where they were going to make a weekend retreat. So she's met a lot of kids from Sac State and from Chico State as well, and the same thing. It's just very welcoming and really good stuff.
That just makes me feel so good, because the college campuses are having it, and UC Davis is. For, you know, allowing, engaging, and having them there.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, it's interesting. People say, well, what about separation of church and state? And even people who want there to be a mass on campus may think, oh, I don't know if that's appropriate or not. It's as appropriate as any other organization
actually.
Doing anything else.
Wasn't separation of church and state meant so that the state didn't have a religion?
Well,
it wasn't,
you know,
to stop
not,
something
it's,
like that.
It's not in the Constitution, separation of church and state. It's what the doctrine has started to be called.
Mm-hmm.
But really, really what it is, I mean, the First Amendment just says that Congress shall make no law restricting the free exercise of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't say separation of church and state. It
right.
says Congress cannot declare that we're the Church of England or we're the Church of Delaware or whatever, and here are the rules and the rubrics and here's how we worship and you all have to do this or you're not Americans, you know?
Right.
And, or we'll put you in jail or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But within that, I read, and I'm reading between the lines, but I read, and that's what the Supreme Court does all the time, you know, is they interpret what did those words mean.
Mm-hmm.
I read that there's a duty for the government to foster the free exercise of religion, that's a value that we put into the First Amendment along with free speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion. They, call, they say they mentioned you know, religion first, so it's the first freedom. Whether they meant that to be the most important or not, you can argue forever. But they meant all those things to be important. So the government has a duty to foster free speech, not just to allow it, but to foster it. And they have a duty to foster the freedom of religion. So a public university campus allowing Holy Mass on the campus, completely constitutional, completely appropriate.
Yes.
And but it also means they're, you know, they would have to allow various things that we might disagree with.
Right.
To be, you know, as long as not breaking the law.
Right.
But they have
that
to allow,
free speech, yes.
allow various points of view that we might not like to be as part of a student club or whatever it is. That's part of it.
It's and it's good to see the Newman Center really picking up the ball, so to speak, after the lockdown, because we lost that fellowship, and now it's we really have a renewed sense of how valuable it is. I'm noticing it too in adults, is that renewed sense of this is so important. That busyness, that's, you know, the families that are tied up in all that schedule, there's actually a loneliness that goes on in that, because they don't have time to entertain, to hang out with family members or friends and so on. And so this, we're trying to navigate new ground, and so far as having gone through that experience for close to 2 years, I know it's been 3 years since it, and there's still vestiges of it, but for the whole, the intensity of it, is that we have a renewed perspective. We can't not. And seeing the person, the other person, is huge. And for them to reach out and to foster this with college students, because the young people, the young adults, are where we're seeing the most depression right now, the most severe depression. And I'm seeing it in the high schools too. And to have them, and that's a simple way, rather than out without making a big deal of it, is going back, big deal meaning throwing a program, throwing a budget, throwing meds at it, calling it mental illness and so on, which definitely has a category. But understanding what can be solved just by what makes us thrive as human beings, and it's fellowship, and it's retreats, and it's God.
Well, and I think that's one reason among many that our Catholic schools, all the testing shows that they did better. And again, we root for the public schools too. 90% of our Catholic kids are in the public schools, and whether they're Catholic or not, we root for the public schools to.
To succeed,
and they're not competitors, but we're just comparing. And the public schools, for good reason, can't teach. They're not going to teach the Our Father. You know, they just aren't. And that's the role of our Catholic schools. But I think, in addition to teachers being on mission, they're on a mission. You know, and they, when that pandemic hit, it was like, we got to educate these kids. That's our mission. It's not like, well, okay, I guess we just all stay home until it's over.
Right.
They had a mission. They Friday was the last day of class. Friday, March the 13th, right now almost.
Yes.
And by Monday, they were open online.
That is quite a testament to human achievement.
Long 72 hours there, and where they figured it out. And then they were able, by really following the rules and putting every protocol in.
And they followed all the...
Buying hand sanitizer by the truckload and masks and everything, and meeting with county health departments, which all had various different rules depending on the level of infection in the in that county and et cetera.
Right.
But managed to get open in person much earlier than most schools did.
They did.
And but I think another part of it, why those kids did better on the educational end of it. I mean, everybody lost a little bit. I mean, there's no question. Some lost a lot. Is because there's that sense of family there. There's that sense of belonging. There's that sense. It's not, you're just not just going to math class. You're not just, you know, it's that we're all in this together. We're, this school is a family. You know, and we're educating the whole person. We're not just doing the three R's or STEM or whatever the latest acronym is. that we're educating the whole person. Mm-hmm. And but you know, it's hard because you in education, so much of what you do in eighth grade is predicated on what you did in seventh grade mm-hmm. and sixth grade and so on. Mm-hmm. And if you lost a lot of what you should have learned in the fifth grade, mm-hmm. how do you advance everybody to the sixth grade?
Right.
You know, and I know, I even know a college student who the foreign language requirement. Mm-hmm. You got to take three semesters
years.
Or three
mm-hmm.
years or whatever it is of the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And, so she took one,
mm-hmm.
but halfway through one, the pandemic hit, and mm-hmm. they went to online, and it was basically everybody just kind of got a pass, you know. In fact, a lot of universities said we're not going to mandate pass fail, but if you wish to take the classes, pass fail.
Right. High schools do the same thing.
Yeah, yes. And everybody got a pass.
Right.
I mean, you just got a pass. Period.
Right.
Well. She feels as if she didn't learn very, very much. She didn't learn enough to go into two.
She would be right,
and,
from
and
my
yet
experience.
She can't repeat one because she already passed one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't let you repeat classes that she already passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to have to find a new language and start over? Or am I going to have to go into two in this language that I didn't learn in one? You know?
Mm-hmm.
What
did she do?
Hasn't decided.
Oh, okay. Because I'm running into that in the high schools.
Going to talk to the dean probably.
Well, she's not alone because we're running into the same problem with math, and how it's going to play out is that segment of the high school population, if we do not recover them and their knowledge, get that knowledge base back, we will lose the advances in technology and so on that they would have brought to us.
Yeah.
Because we have not articulated a path for them to regain that. And even though they can retake it in junior college, we know that. Actually, the junior colleges have changed in the state, and they're not doing assessment tests anymore. They look at your transcripts and what you passed, you
right.
take the next class.
Right.
So basically, for that 3 years, those students in those years, we've lost kids in the sciences
yeah.
now. In
Well, the sciences especially, and mm-hmm. like foreign language, it's building block. Everything's
right.
building blocked, but it's more pronounced in the, you know, you can't do 4 times 4 until you know what 2 times 2 is.
Right. And so we're not even talking, having the discussion of where they can go to the junior college and say, hey, even though I have it was during the lockdown, I need to go take IM1 again so that I can move forward. Because also, parallel to that, they don't even have the mentality to understanding to articulate, okay, I need, because the guidance counselors aren't telling them.
Yeah.
And so the conversation hasn't been had with all of the entities, the high school, the college, or junior college. And the student to say, okay, you have to identify that this is when you would have had it. So you do
right.
need to go take it. So because you do have, I've got kids with a lot of talent, but no one's addressing it. So they're disengaged and they don't know how to reengage. And so we've got a gap and we have to figure out how to mitigate that gap. And so I would offer to parents, okay, while the big entities involved try to figure it out, parents coming back into your family, you lived it with your kids, have the conversation with them and give them the option so they can go to the junior college. And even though the junior college hasn't figured out, say to the junior college, that's when I had those math classes. I got a pass fail. I did not get the knowledge because it wasn't just that spring semester. It was the entire next academic year.
Right.
I need to take it again. And I know you have a policy, but either give me an assessment test or let's just let you know that I didn't get it. And I want to do it again. Don't make me pay for it and fail it and go through that because it's not going to recover. And so parents, that's where we can help our children shift gears. But what I'm seeing by and large from all the different environments that I'm in, from private tutoring to being in the high schools to being in the middle school, is it's not even on the parents' radar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a conversation. It's nothing else to add to the parents' to-do list, but it's bringing, as God's heart and hands, we are called to help our children navigate situations they've never seen before. And unfortunately, we've never seen this either. But praying about it, knowing there's something not right, like how are we going to navigate this gap? No one saw it coming. But also, how do we have the conversation with your student? What are your college plans? Most of them are saying, I don't know, they honestly have not come out of, they're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
They're in a like suspended animation. They're doing what's right in front of them, but they're not sure how to step into the college world. And since we don't have trade schools that are really, and there's kids that need to go into trade schools, and we don't have, I hope the state picks up on that. We really need good trade schools. The family, again, the building block, can be the bridge to help them get there.
Sure.
And it's through prayer and parents coming back to the table saying, okay, my kids, we've all come out of it. Things are getting back together. How are we doing? How are we doing? And praying, Lord, give me wisdom and insight to see where to direct. Because every kid's doing differently. Some kids picked it back up on their own. Some kids kept studying. I did have a student that did not take advantage of the pass-fail. He wants to be an astronaut.
Right.
So he did it. And he kept studying all the way through. So parents, it's up to, we can change all this. We can be the gears that get them back in motion, to get back in the conversation. And so when we see ourselves as God's heart and hands, we have that influence and that power. Like nothing, even though everything looks so big and crazy out in the world, we have the power. We, by the power, meaning we have the influence, we have their attention, and we are ordained by God to do what we're doing, to be those parents. They were given to us, right? I love how you say that that child is born at that moment. That's who they were meant to be.
Yeah.
And to us as parents. And if they were born at another place in time or something, it's not going to be them.
Yeah.
And when we recognize, when we renew and come back to that, we as parents, that is, I mean, my car broke down once next to a cemetery. So waiting 45 minutes for the tow truck driver, I was amazed. I didn't see CEO. I didn't see job title. I didn't see a dollar sign on any one of those. Even going back to the 1800s.
Yeah.
It was all about family. Grandmother, father.
Grandmother, or yeah, yeah, mother of.
Yes.
And names, and yeah.
Or, right, and it was a baby, daughter but, of, and, yeah. and loving words, beloved, loved. Right. And it's when push comes to shove, that's what matters. That's what we want cast in stone, is our family relationships.
Yeah, you know, it would be, you know, it's not really a joke, but it's sort of a joke, you know, that nobody has ever said on their deathbed, oh, I wish I had made more money.
True. Yeah. You know, it is a joke, but it does give us insight.
It would be, I'm sure somebody's written the book of sort of deathbed, it wouldn't even be laments necessarily, just deathbed conversations with mm-hmm. famous people.
And I've seen it in multiple cases where grandma is dying and she's looking for the son or the daughter that's not there,
mm-hmm.
that's not in the room due to family animosity. It's in their heart. It comes out. They can no longer hide it.
You know, my grandmother on my mother's side was eventually, she had 17 kids,
oh.
but she was eventually.
That's glorious.
Widowed. Oh. Twice, you know, and was living with kind of a friend caretaker in, mm-hmm. in North Dakota where she grew up,
mm-hmm.
and where my mom grew up. But and she would come out to California every now and then and visit. But finally, my mom, who was a nurse, went back when grandma was probably in her mid to late 80s, and realized that she wasn't in a good living situation, that she was failing mentally, and that it just wasn't the right caretaker, mm-hmm. you know. And so she brought her out mm-hmm. to live with us. Well, I was in college at that point, but I was going to college in my hometown, so I would mm-hmm. see it a lot, and eventually became so disabled that she was in a home in Davis, though.
Mm-hmm.
So mom would, who was a nurse, would go there before work, go there mm-hmm. at lunchtime, go there after work.
Mm.
And but when it finally was pretty obvious that grandma was about to go, I was there at the home with my mom. Just to happen, you know, my sisters are very involved too, but they just mm-hmm. didn't happen
just
to be there
moment.
At that time,
uh-huh.
you know. And mom was with her, and I was kind of in and out. And finally, my mom kept telling her how much she loved her and et cetera. And grandma was, you know, she was really slipping.
Mm-hmm.
and was not able to communicate. It was, I don't know, you hear the word comatose and nobody really knows what that means,
yeah.
You know. But finally, Mom went to just run an errand or something. And during that time, Grandma died.
Hmm.
And I could tell my mom was, she wasn't devastated, but she was troubled. She wanted mm-hmm. to be there, you know. And it was obvious that as long as my mom was there, Grandma couldn't let go.
Mm-hmm.
And when Mom finally wow. left the room, she went.
Wow.
You know, it's and yeah. you hear stories like that a lot.
My mom did the same thing. I went upstairs for a moment, and then my sister-in-law called me back down, and I went running back in the room, and I could tell my mom knew because she started to come back, and I'm like, no, 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 you go ahead.
Yeah.
It's okay. I know where you're going. It's go. It's good. Yeah, yeah. They do. Hang on. A parent's love, a mother's love is like nothing else. It's very strong.
When my mother died, my two sisters, one of whom, well, I have three sisters, but they decided to move her in for her final days with my one sister in Vacaville,
mm-hmm.
and close by for everybody to visit, and so she was there. I mean, she actually my one of my sisters, who's a nurse as well, she got a hospital bed and mm. everything. So mm-hmm. Mom was really comfortable, and the ladies from St. James would come down and pray the rosary with her,
oh.
and it just was so important to her. But it was about 10 o'clock in the morning when she finally breathed her last. And almost at that instant, there was a knock at the door. And it was two young boys in coats and ties with a book under their arms, the Book of Mormon. And my sister answered the door and said, "Hi." And they said, "Hi, we're..." You know, and nowadays they all, you know, they offer to mow your lawn, or do you need your car washed? It's
uh-huh.
more, it's more than just,
okay,
you know. And looking back now many years, it's poignant, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of,
yeah. How do you see it now, years later?
My sister J-O is her name, Dorothy. Mm-hmm. She's named after my mom. Gift of God, Dorothy.
Oh, uh-huh.
And she said, "Well, our mother has just, I mean, it was that instant.
Oh my.
Has wow. just died."
Okay.
You know? And we're praying. If you want to join us in prayer, you're welcome to join us in prayer. And so they did.
Oh my.
And I was like, it's like, and now you can, you know, you can laugh and you can go, God's got a sense of humor.
God does.
Or he wanted these young boys.
And I would love to know if they were Catholic
this.
Now. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, to have that
yeah,
experience.
Yeah, but I mean, it was, the timing was God's timing.
It was.
It was exquisite.
That was,
you know, as they say, one of my favorite expressions, when somebody says it's a coincidence, you say, with God, there are no coincidences.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I didn't make
they
that
did,
up. But
they did come in and pray with you.
Yeah. And it's
wow.
just, it was just like, it was so exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And, I mean, we tell the story and we laugh, but we cry.
Mm-hmm.
And feel just a whole variety of emotions. But why did that happen like that?
Wow. Well, you've talked at other times about how faith-filled your mom was.
Oh, yeah.
And would that not be a mother that would just, okay, God, I'll wait until you can get something set up so we can bring a couple more.
She'd have had the whole world in there.
Right.
Yeah.
She'd right.
have had everybody that needed an example or something in there.
Right. I could see, from the way you've talked about her, I could see her offering her the end, the discomfort
yeah.
of it, and wanting to be with God,
right.
saying, okay, I'll wait until you can get them in here because
right.
you've got purpose for them.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a beautiful story.
I mean, they had to have driven up parked their car. Now, who knows if they
at the same
on,
time
knocked on
right?
other doors or
right.
if they had eaten breakfast 10 minutes right. earlier or 10 minutes later. You mm-hmm. know,
all
the whole,
ways. Yeah. Right. Right. And we know from other stories, like with 9/11, how many people were caught up, forgot their keys, went back, and then ended up not being in the building. Yeah. People's lives were saved, things like that. Yeah. That there is a purpose in it all. And it, once again, how beautiful that is, a story to direct us back to God's coincidences that we think is coincidence, but it's really God. And I would say that's probably one of the most beautiful things that's come out of the difficulties of the last 3 years is it's we are now talking about God more. People are more open about it. Now, I know the churches are not full like they were beforehand, generally speaking, but people
are getting better.
It is definitely getting better. But it we are definitely more open about talking about God with strangers, with clerks, with each other. It's shifting.
Yeah, and everybody needs to do their own thing on that. I mean, we run the gamut from people who don't even want to admit that the pandemic
right.
was real to people who maybe have a condition
mm-hmm.
or even just psychologically, just like, I'm terrified. Mm-hmm. And you go in the grocery store, you'll see a fair number of people still wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And you go someplace else and you see nobody wearing a mask. And
right.
And I just respect whatever mm-hmm. a person feels like they need to do.
And I'm glad they're taking care of their own health. If that's what
yeah.
they need to do for their health, please, that's great.
Yeah, and so it'll take a while. But you know, my favorite expression during the all of the ups and downs of the pandemic was God hasn't left the building.
Mm-hmm.
He's still here. He's still with us.
Right.
He knows what we're going through. It's not an impossible situation.
Mm-hmm.
It was very sad that a lot of people got very sick. A lot of people died.
Right.
But, you know, God's way and God's time. And
mm-hmm.
it's all those we call them mysteries.
Right. Right. You and know. Then coming back to the family, how people resolved families that were in difficulty. Sometimes they resolved because of the criticality of it
right.
and the fears, and sometimes they have not. But it's all coming back to the to God and the family, and what the quote that Saint Charbel said in talking about the family, because the family is the image of God. From the beginning of the creation of this universe, the evil one is focusing on destroying the family, the foundation of God's plan. And then coupling that with a quote of insight by St. Pope Paul VI, at the beginning of the New Testament, as at the beginning of the Old, there is a married couple.
Mm.
One brought sin, one brought renewal
right.
and
right.
life. But is that just that one? Sometimes a thread is just so beautiful to see it. It's a thread in the tapestry that we haven't seen before. That's how important the family is. And when to understand, to really speak about it, and a friend just recently said, I don't like the fact that you talk about the enemy. And I said, why? And she goes, I don't want to think about it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I hear you, but we have to understand the influence because we can no longer ignore it. Because if you understand what you're battling and just to recognize fully, then your prayers become different.
Right.
You become a stronger warrior, so to speak. And don't we know that that's one thing he wants is to convince people that he's not really doesn't really exist and so on. So in Luke 2:40, the child grew and became strong, talking about Jesus when he was lost and for the 3 days and they found him and how he went on to become and grow in maturity and strength, and how St. Joseph, listened to St. Joseph as his father, because we know from another scripture that they were just like any other family in the region. So St. Joseph, as a father, he did the things that any other father would do. They fit in. They didn't stand out. So that means that he was teaching his son, that he led the family in prayer, that Jesus was the boy, so became the son fully, the human son, the son of man, so that then he was more able, if you will, to then move people towards God, because he didn't stand out from the beginning.
Right.
This was a family, and so we have to look to St. Joseph, and as more information is coming out about him all the time, but St. Joseph is a model for dads to pay attention. And what was it? He was attentive. He still worked. Dads have to work. He still had the activities of the family, teaching the culture and so on. But God was at the center. And we as families and as dads, we have to know how to bridge all of this because there's so much coming at us. And that's the downside of having so many options, so many opportunities. Our kids can be doing so many things. We can be doing so many things. It's not as simple as it was 50 years ago. That I would offer that dads, that as the spiritual leaders of the family, and they are, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 and 8, but when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him.
One of my favorite scriptural, that one has really hit me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't just go beat your chest in public. We do have that duty to spread the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, I'm witnessing. Well, and that's true. You mm-hmm. know, when you, you're together in a group and you're witnessing, or you witness to your friends or your neighbors mm-hmm. or something. But there's that warning against being showy and being like, I'm more holy than you are, or
yeah.
I'm better than you are. And that one really hits me. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You don't even have to worry about not saying the perfect prayer. Or, oh, I forgot mm-hmm. to ask Him for this. He already knows.
Right.
He already knows.
But have to go into the room, shut the world behind us.
Yeah.
By closing the door, we're saying, I want to leave that
right.
behind there. And but yet at the same time, coupling that with seek, ask, and find, we have to do the first part. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. But we still have to come to Him. We still have to put the world aside, go into our prayer space, and pray.
Right.
Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. But we have to take the first action.
Can you imagine, though, being the Father of Jesus? I mean, we regret it when we lose the car keys. Or mm-hmm. whatever. He lost the Son of God.
I've thought about that long. I've thought about that long and hard, what that was
how did
like.
How that happen? It's like wow, I really blew it.
Yes.
I'm going to have to go in my room and close the door.
And your friends and family are all watching it going, but they don't know. They don't They don't know, right? They don't know that He's the Son of God. They just know that, well, what are you wigged out about?
Yeah.
He's in a safe place.
Yeah.
And they're just like, you have no idea. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating? And then I still am praying about it and meditating on it. I still don't quite get the depth of it. Was Mary said to Him, did you not know how upset we were?
Yeah, yeah.
And He ran away. That's still like, well, of course He knew.
Yeah.
You know, was that a
imagine if He'd had a skateboard or
I was just going to say, was that a foreshadowing of her losing Him for 3 days
yeah.
in the tomb? But the skateboard just blew that whole thought, you
yeah.
know? And but we do. But I don't know. There's a whole lot to it. I guess as we get older and we revisit Scripture, and that's one of the beautiful things, right? It's alive. We constantly can get new insights.
It's so easy to just say, oh, well, that's not a very important story, or that's, I don't know what that means. It's all important.
It's
all important. Every line in there is important.
I've actually done workshops on Mary and Martha and spent 2 hours talking about Mary and Martha.
Mary and Martha, that's an intriguing one.
There's a lot there.
And talk about Mary and Martha with kids at all ages
mm-hmm.
or adults. Everybody's got a different opinion.
They do, and they're all valid.
Yeah.
They're all their
yeah.
insights we didn't see. And then as you get older and you revisit, it's like, oh, I never saw that again.
Yeah.
I never saw that perspective before.
Yeah.
It really is the living word in a different way that I didn't understand before. But that's the beauty of family, how we offer that generationally. And dads, I would offer, and moms, they need the support of the generations. And I see the kind of like the movie plot. I can see where the enemy saw far long ago. And extended families were broken up, people moved away, things like that. So you didn't have that hub of a family, like the beautiful way you were talking about your grandmother. And then all the family members being there, that's hard now because people are split
sure.
so many different places.
Sure.
And that wasn't possible before. And I can see when I see, that's another thread he's undone from the tapestry.
Now, every time I meet a Mary, my oldest sister's Mary, I say, that's the firstborn in a Catholic family.
Uh-huh. Is Mary.
Is Mary, a firstborn mm-hmm. Woman. woman and a female child in a Catholic family is, if I hear their name's Mary, but I've never heard anybody say, "Yeah, well, I was named after Mary of Mary and Martha."
Oh, that's a good point.
I wonder. We got to know if there's a family out there. Maybe they get a hold of, do you have both a Mary and a Martha in your family?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I did meet a woman once at a church that they had six or seven sisters, and their first names were all Mary. And their middle name was different, and that was name they went by. But all of them were named Mary. But I like the Mary and Martha idea. I can't imagine what that would be like. But then just paying attention to St. Joseph and this being his month in the Litany to St. Joseph. He has so much responsibility in heaven. He can intercede for us and protect families, and he is the model of fathers. And so with Father's Day coming up and this being the month of devotion to St. Joseph and March 19th, is just to embrace it. We have such a rich faith. There is something here for everyone. Yeah. And it seems like it, but in a way, we don't have any idea. There's so much depth and breadth.
Right.
So it's just to talk about it. Well, it's kind of obvious, but it's good to bring it up now and then.
Very good, Jen. Yeah. Always a joy. Thanks so much.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he? And together we sing.